Sabbath blessings to everybody. Yeah, that's not. Thanks. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We want to do only that which you have created us to do. So we thank you, Father, for blessing us with understanding of your Scripture. We pray that when we go into the Word or into the Spirit of Prophecy that you bless us with divine wisdom to understand as well as comprehend so that we can go forth and share these truths with others. As we understand, Father, that it is extremely urgent that we share these things with them because it is the last days. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for blessing all those that are blessing us physically, spiritually, and financially. We pray that you bless them in the exact same way, if not more. We also pray for all those that are on our prayer list, especially the ones that are lost. We have so many loved ones on and offline that are having a rough time embracing this truth because the enemy is attacking in such a vagrant way. We thank you again, Father God, for the technology that you have blessed us with to be able to share these truths with others around the world because we're so scattered now, it's hard to find a group of believers that believe as we do in one area. So thank you for blessing us with this way to at least come together and have fellowship because you do say whenever two or more are gathered that you are there in their midst. And we don't necessarily have to be gathered in one room, but most of us are more than one together anyway. So we thank you for blessing us with your presence. And if anyone speaks, we pray you bridle their tongue so that your words come forth and only you are glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. A big difference from last week. Last week we had that snow coming down. It just kept all day long. It just kept snowing all day. Then we had, when it was all said and done, about 2-3 inches. No wind. It was just nice. But now it's like 55 out. Everything's just melting. 1 week. Not that much big difference. For those of you that. Well, I imagine everybody here prays. Keep your brethren in prayer because of what happened. We were talking about this last night in the room about the Christian that was trying to evangelize some Muslims on Pell Talk. It turns out that the people, the Muslims, tracked them down and killed them and their family. And at least you're blessed with a martyr's death. But we pray that this doesn't scare the children of God away from doing that which they're called to do. Because it's going to get a lot worse. This is one of the reasons they're allowing certain things via the government so that the enemy can get done what he wants to get done. But he's going to lose. We already know the outcome. And that's one of the reasons he hates us, because we can tell you today what he's going to do tomorrow, because we understand prophecy. All right, we're still in the book, Steps to Christ. Everybody's got one, these little books. And if anybody wants them online, just give us, drop us an email, and we'll send you out a book for free. We're on page 112, starting at the second paragraph. For those of you that are using the internet version of the book, it's in the chapter entitled The Privilege of Prayer. And go to the page 112. All right, starting in the middle of the page, it says, when we come to ask mercy and blessing from God, we should have a spirit of love and forgiveness in our own hearts. How can we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and yet indulge an unforgiving spirit? If we expect our own prayers to be heard, we must forgive others in the same manner and to the same extent as we hope to be forgiven. Perseverance in prayer has been made a condition of receiving. We must pray always if we would if we would grow in faith and experience. We are to be instant in prayer, to continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I like that, the way she puts it, you know, in, well, the way the scriptures put it, of course, as well. Instant in prayer, you know, constantly, like, praying without ceasing. You're going through the day, whatever happens, you know, all of a sudden, you just throw off a quick prayer to the Father and thank Him for something. Because that's, you know, keeping Him in your day all day long, it makes for a good experience, and it makes for a good relationship with Him, too. And then, of course, His peace will bless you, because it says in the Word that if you draw nigh unto Christ, He'll draw nigh unto you, which means near. And then you'll just have that much more peace and happiness. And that's the main goal of all humans. I don't care where you're from on the planet. Inner peace. That's why so many people go out there trying to find themselves, you know? And they use all sorts of weird things like drugs, alcohol, or whatever. And all they're really looking for is Jesus, and they don't realize it. And I continue, it says, Peter exhorts believers to be sober and watch unto prayer. Paul directs, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, yet let your requests be made known unto God. But ye, beloved, says Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Unceasing prayer is the unbroken union of the soul with God, so that life from God flows into our life, and from our life, purity and holiness flow back to God. There is a necessity for diligence in prayer. Let nothing hinder you. Make every effort to keep open the communion between Christ, or between Jesus and your own soul. Seek every opportunity to go where prayer is wont to be made. And that will also get you to a point where you won't go in certain areas where you know you can't pray, or you know you wouldn't walk in there with Jesus, you know? Like, you wouldn't turn something on the TV that He wouldn't want. Like, I always try to picture in my mind, and sometimes I fail at this too, we're all, you know, sinners. And so confession comes in a lot, but it's not that what would Jesus do theology either. I mean, you know, you get that, you know, the people with that WWJD thing. But it is kind of in the same way, like, to try to picture Jesus Christ walking with you in your life. You know, like you hear some people say, you know, the preacher's coming over, or the pastor's coming over, and all of a sudden they hurry around and clean up the house to get the Bibles out, and they dust them off because they haven't used them in years. And what would they do if they realized that Jesus was in their house every day? Would they go around and dust off their Bibles, or would they actually read them? You know, that's a big difference, because He does exist. We have enough evidence of that just by seeing some of the miracles. And the thing I like is the prophecies, because of the way He makes a statement, then it actually happens the way He says it's going to happen. I continue, it says, those who are really seeking for communion with God will be seen in prayer meeting, faithful to their duty, and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they can gain. They will improve every opportunity of placing themselves where they can receive the rays of light from heaven. Because they're thirsty for it. They desire it. They crave it. That's why I can't pass up like the midday prayer. I mean, everybody does the morning prayer, the evening prayer, but I like the midday prayer too, because like, especially in the nice months, when it's nice outside, I go outside and just be one with Him. Get away from all the hustle and bustle or whatever, you know, all the work or whatever that's going on. Or if in the wintertime, just go in a room someplace by yourself and pray. Because it makes for a good relationship, and it's a real blessing. Continuing, it says, we should pray in the family circle, and above all, we must not neglect secret prayer, for this is the life of the soul. It is impossible for the soul to flourish while prayer is neglected. Family or public prayer alone is not sufficient. So, like when we pray as a family every morning, and it's kind of hard sometimes to pray as a family every night because we're in different areas at times, so sometimes we mess up there. But we do, like even as we pray as a family or read the scriptures as a family, that doesn't mean that your own personal Bible readings and stuff like that are ignored or you don't bother with it because, well, I already read the Bible, I did it with the family. No, that's two different things. You should have the personal prayer and the personal study as opposed to, you know, as a family. You do them both. All right, continuing, it says, in solitude, let the soul be laid open to the inspecting eye of God. Secret prayer is to be heard only by the prayer-hearing God. No curious ear is to receive the burden of such petitions. In secret prayer, the soul is free from surrounding influences, free from excitement. Calmly, yet fervently, will it reach out after God. And sometimes, you know, you go you know how they have prayer meetings in churches and stuff? Sometimes people will come and they'll pray things out loud in a group of people that should be left in secret. Certain things you just shouldn't pray out loud. You know, there's certain, you know, because it's going to generate problems. And there are prayers that we should pray in secret to the Father. All right, continuing. It says, sweet and abiding will be the influence emanating from him who seeth in secret, whose ear is open to hear the prayer arising from the heart. By calm, simple faith, the soul holds communion with God and gathers to itself rays of divine light to strengthen and sustain it in the conflict with Satan. Because we're constantly being attacked. And we need this prayer. If you neglect the prayer and the Bible reading, you're going to be on your own. And you don't want to be on your own in today's world because of the way things are. I mean, you can't. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we could talk about, some of the weird things that are happening out there in the world where the people just aren't ready for it, especially like with prophecy. 99% of the people of the world have no idea all the prophecies that Jesus said would happen right before he comes back have happened, except for a couple. They're just oblivious to it all. They think, no, the weather's messed up because it's normally messed up this time. No. Or the weird earthquakes or the tsunamis and the three hurricanes hitting Florida and the blood red water and the tornado on the surface of the sun going 300,000 miles an hour. These are all prophesied events. These, you know, more or less what's going to generate the plagues. But they look at them as they got their scientific reasonings or whatever, but how come it never happened before in the history of man, and why is it mentioned in Scripture beforehand? They just don't get it because they don't read their Bibles. Continuing with this, God is our tower of strength. Pray in your closet. He's literally saying go in your closet where your clothes are and sit down next to your shoes and start praying, you know? This is, get away from it all. Get in your own room, your bedroom. I don't know if the closet meant bedroom in the old... You could pray in yourself, too. Huh?
You could pray in your closet while you're doing the dishes.
Yeah, you could pray in your closet while you're doing the dishes. Yeah, amen. You know, like the secret prayer that she's talking about here, like in your mind. You don't necessarily have to speak it out loud. All right, pray in your closet as you go about your daily labor. Let your heart be often uplifted to God. It was thus that Enoch walked with God. These silent prayers rise like precious incense before the throne of grace. That's why I like doing them so much, because he likes them. You know, the shortest prayer, I love you. Yeah, that's a nice prayer. I remember when I learned that when I was a little kid. My mom taught me that one. And I was a Catholic at that time. You know? It's amazing how the Lord will give you little gems of truth. That's what gets you out of places like the Catholic Church and other churches, too. You know, you go into the Scriptures and you find you're in danger and you get out. You know? Because the Lord's children are in every church. You know? Continuing, it says that Satan cannot overcome him whose heart is thus stayed upon God. There is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer up a petition to God. There is nothing that can prevent us from lifting up our hearts in the spirit of earnest prayer. And it can be quickie prayers, too. I mean, like a bad situation's coming. I was just talking about this with somebody last night. I don't know if we were talking about this in the... chat room, or no, I think I was talking to Admin about it the other day, yeah, before the chat room we did last night, where, you remember Dave, I was the best man at the wedding and all that, and I was sharing with this one friend named Dave, we'll just leave it at that, truth, and he was Lutheran, and he kept on relaying the messages I was giving him to his pastor. And his pastor kept, you know, shooting horns up and yelling and screaming and, you know, doing all this other stuff and slamming me. And Dave would come back to me with all this information that the pastor was saying, and I was showing him in Scripture where he was, you know, missing this point or taking this out of context or whatever. And then it came time for the wedding, and this guy was going to marry Dave, and I was just going to, you know, I was going to be the best man. And I begged Dave, do not put me in the same room with this man, because I'm a very young Christian. I may lose my temper. I may get angry, you know, because I was just starting to do the street preaching thing back then, and I hadn't met Pastor Russ yet. When I met him, you know, we really started doing that, going out there on the street. But Dave, the way he is, he likes to mess around. So later on during the day, he what happened? That's right. After the wedding, it was during the reception. It was all done in his home. Everything was all done in the home. And Dave said his wife had bought some books he was concerned about. They were books about angels, and he wanted me to take a look at them. Because he didn't know if they were correct or not. And they weren't. They were demonic books. They were talking about angels, but the devil's an angel. He's a fallen angel, but it's still an angel. And so these books were about angels, but they weren't letting the whole truth out about what these angels were doing. And so I went down and I was investigating the books, and I was by myself. You know, it was in the family room because no one was down in the family room. They were all upstairs in the living room and the kitchen, and it was a small wedding kind of a thing. Sure enough, he sent that Lutheran pastor down in there, and this guy started getting in my face. But as I saw the man coming towards me, I had all of 5-10 seconds to respond, right? So I just threw up a quick prayer. And I reminded the Lord of his promise about when you stand before the magistrates, that he'll give you what to say, that you don't rehearse beforehand, or the John 14:26, bring all things to your remembrance kind of a thing. So I said, Father God, I need your help right now. And instantly, it was just, the words were coming out. And I could tell it was the Holy Spirit just working real well. And the guy was only down there maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And after we had that conversation, I'm not going to say what we talked about because he was getting pretty strange with some of the weird questions. And he was joking. It was kind of, some of the stuff was bad. And this was a Lutheran pastor. And after about 3 or 4 minutes, he kind of just turned around, walked up the stairs, walked through the crowd, walked out of the door, walked out into the front yard, and got into his car, started, drove off and left, and just didn't bother staying for the wedding or nothing. And Dave just came flying out. I said, what'd you say to him and all that? But I told him that the Holy Spirit, the Lord answered the prayer, and the Holy Spirit just took over. And so those instant prayers or those, it can work very, very powerfully sometimes. Sometimes the Lord will take his time answering the prayers, of course. You could take years. It all depends on the situation. But I like the way some of them respond quickly. Or like that one woman with the bread, we talked about that, I think, last week, where I was hungry and I prayed for something to eat, and all of a sudden this woman pulls up with a truckload of bread she was going to give to one of these missions in the Chicago area, homeless shelter. And she comes out of the car and says, you want some bread? I just said amen. And because I was sitting out there waiting for Pastor Russ and all that, and I was hungry. But anyway, getting back, it says almost done with the third chapter. Let's start it up again. It says, there is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer up a petition to God. And that's more or less what got me on that tangent, if you will. Because it really doesn't matter where you're at, especially in times of danger. It really doesn't, or a severe temptation. Throw up a prayer real quick and he'll get you out of it if you trust him. If you don't, if you trust your flesh, forget it. Continuing, it says, there is nothing that can prevent us from lifting up our hearts in the spirit of the earnest prayer. See, that's another thing. The government can say in 1962 that it's against the law to pray in schools. But how are they going to stop the kids? Literally, how are they? I mean, if you got tests in school, you're going to have prayer. How do you stop a kid from putting his head down or just bowing his head and saying a silent prayer in school? How do you do that? Thought police? That's coming to that, like with that one movie that they were, what was that? I can't remember. They had some movie about the Minority Report or something like that. I don't know. Something about that where there was like a if you were thinking of a murderer, I don't know. It's just, anyway, continuing, it says, in the crowds of the street, in the midst of the business engagement, we may send up a petition to God and plead for divine guidance, as did Nehemiah when he made his request before the king Artaxerxes. A closet of communion may be found wherever we are. We should have the door of the heart open continually in our invitation going up, that Jesus may come and abide as a heavenly guest in the soul. Although there may be a tainted, corrupted atmosphere around us, we need not breathe its miasma, but may live in the pure air of heaven. Now, you could be forced into a situation. I mean, most Christians aren't going to walk into a bar or whatever. Something that's, like she's saying here, is just totally corrupted atmosphere. You could be in the middle of a big old gang fight, and you could throw off a prayer to the Lord. It doesn't matter where you're at. Because Christians could be thrown into pretty strange situations. I mean, Look at the Christians during the Colosseum days when they were thrown at lions. You know? And now in Europe, they're having games like they do here in the States. In the United States of America, they got these plays they places are called, I think it's Medieval Times or something like that. You see the commercials on the TV. I never bothered going there. It just seems so strange. What it is, it's a bar, and it's a huge bar from what they're showing on the TV. And in the bar, they've got this like fence. They got this big corral in the middle of the bar, and they got this fence all the way around it. And then there's tables along the fence, I guess. And people just sit there and get drunk and eat. And there's you can't have any utensils to drink or to eat with. Everything is you eat with your hands. Okay, like the medieval times. You're supposed to wear Gothic clothing and all this other stuff, but some people just come in the regular clothing, I guess, because the commercial looked like normal people to me in the commercial. Except for in the corral in the middle. They would have these games where they would come in and they would reenact these fights with, you know, gladiators or knights in shining armors or whatever. But now in Europe, they're taking it one step further. They make like a miniature coliseum like they'd had in the Roman times. And I did it like 2 or 3 months ago in my newsletter. I have some pictures on there of this actual coliseum where they're doing the same thing that they do here in the States. The only difference is they actually have a pretty young Christian woman tied to two stakes. Like they got two posts. I think the posts are about 5 feet apart. There's a post on one side of her and a post on the other side of her, and her hands are up in the air, and she's tied to the posts. And next to her are two gigantic, well, not gigantic, but normal size, and they're big, life-sized stuffed lions, male lions with the big hair and all that. It's for entertainment, killing Christians. You know? This is the days we live in. And then the other newsletter I showed where the Muslims were photographing as they were killing Christians in a mob. We actually got to see faces of people that will gain heaven. You can see the faces of some people that will be in heaven because they were killed for their faith and their faith alone. They were only killed because they're Christians. And so that's what I'm like this, no matter how corrupted the atmosphere is around you, I can see those Christians in the Colosseum throwing up a prayer and asking for strength to be able to deal with that. And I can't see that happening again, but you know, you look at the World Wrestling Federation where they're having all these weird entertainment, the football, the basketball, all this weird sports that Rome has invented, everything from the Olympics, it was all Roman. It's all designed for a fury. I mean, look at the way the sports are today. It's just everywhere. Everywhere you look, they're even having a spin-off of sports. You went from football to stadium football now. You know, where you have a smaller field or something, I don't know. It's just, and now they're actually showing stuff in Europe where they have a woman that's depicting Christians being eaten by lions, and that's considered entertainment. That's what this world's coming to. Like 5 years ago, if somebody would have told me 5 years ago that they were going to test torture on Christians to see how God responds to their prayers, I would say you're crazy. There's just no way. I can't see that, them testing it and then admitting it. And then, just what? It's on my urgent breaking news page on the website. They're doing it now. In Oxford University, the United States of America is funding experiments on torture to see if, when they're torturing the person, they only do this with what they're calling Christians, but they're actually Catholics they're doing it with, because they're putting a Virgin Mary in front of them to see if the pain goes away, or putting a picture of Jesus on a crucifix. That's Catholic. They're actually doing that now. Didn't Sister White, say in the last days it's going to be a rapid advancement of things happening? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And we're going to be a problem for most of them because we won't go along with the laws of the land, with this law that they're planning, the National Sunday Law. All right. Finishing up, let me see if I can get to the point where we're going to break here. Alright, we're continuing. It says, although they were tainted, there may be a tainted, corrupted atmosphere around us, we need not breathe its miasma, but may live in the pure air of heaven. We may close every door to impure imaginings and unholy thoughts by lifting the soul into the presence of God through sincere prayer. So even if they have you in a cell and they're trying to do things to get your mind off of Christ, you can close your eyes And even then, if they did put toothpicks in your eyes and make you hold them open or something, you can glaze them over and not look at what you're looking at. We can all phase out. That's human. You can phase out. Those whose hearts are open to receive the support and blessing of God will walk in a holier atmosphere than that of the earth and will have constant communion with heaven. We need to have more distinct views of Jesus and a fuller comprehension of the value of eternal realities. The beauty of holiness is to fill the hearts of God's children. And that this may be accomplished, we should seek divine disclosures of heavenly things. Okay, let's end it there. We'll pick it up again next week at page 116. We're just about done with this little booklet. The next book we're going to go into is Signs of the End. What was that called? I keep forgetting the name of that book. Last Day Events. That's it. Last Day Events. And because I want to get a little bit more into prophecy and discussing that. Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'm going to get me a drink of water.